This morning, as I was greeting people, Bill Logan asked me to pray this afternoon at 4:25. I said, 4:25? What is 4:25? Some of you already know. Football game is on between Dallas and Eagles. I told him, God's will be done. I cannot pray for either team. Anyway, for the next three Sundays, we are going to learn about God's will for His children. That is, you and me. God's will for you and God's will for me. I believe it is very essential for us to know and understand and do God's will for our daily lives, because our eternal destiny depends on it. Now, in fact, this topic, God's will, is my favorite subject to preach. In my 25 years of preaching, I preached over 1,000 sermons, and knowing God's will was the second most popular sermon topic. You may wonder, what was the first one? Anyone would like to take a guess? What was the most popular sermon topic?
Birth of Jesus.
No?
Resurrection.
No? Repentance? No?
Money?
Money? People don't want me to talk about money, let me tell you. Faithfulness. Nope. Let me tell you what. Again, it could be different, right? Every pastor is different. But in my humble experience, it was anger. I don't know whether everyone deals with the issue of anger. But anyway, that was the most popular. That means the most responses that I got after I preached. And this one is the second one. Anyway, this is what we are going to do in the next three Sundays. Today, we are going to consider why it is necessary for us to know God's will. And next Sunday, we will lay the foundations of knowing God's will by removing the obstacles in knowing God's will. And following Sunday, we will talk about five practical applications or steps to know God's will. And by the end of this sermon series, I pray that all of us would be blessed and benefit from this sermon series. You know, one of the greatest tragedies in the Christian church today in America is this. Many of us believe in certain lies regarding God's will for us. And I can identify four lies in the church when it comes down to knowing God's will. The first one is this, that we don't have to know God's will for us. We don't have to know God's will for us. That's a big fat lie that Satan whispers to our ears. And here's why we should never listen to his lie. God wants us to have an abundant life in Jesus, the Bible says. However, our enemy Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy us. While God wants us to walk in the light, the devil wants us to stay in darkness. While God wants us to live in love and joy and peace and righteousness, our enemy wants to keep us in discontent, lust, envy, hate, and unforgiveness. Many of the Christians today are so unfamiliar with God's will for us that we end up living our lives like non-believers according to our own fleshly desires. You judge yourself. You open up your heart and let's pretend that the center of your heart and life, there is one seat, throne. Who do you see sitting on that throne? If you see yourself sitting on that throne, and not much different from the people in the world. That's what I'm talking about. Now the bottom line is this. God repeatedly says in the Bible to us Know my will, my child, and do not settle for less. Now please work with me this morning. I'm going to ask you to say a few things after me. This is first one. Say after me, please. I will know God's will for me. I will not settle for less. Okay, that's the first lie. We don't have to know God's will, but we will know God's will. The second lie is this, that we don't deserve to know God's will. We are talking about identity crisis here. Now, do not forget that you are God's child, not a slave. God wants every child of His to be fully assured in every will of God. Colossians 4:12 says so. Now, if you believe that you are not worthy to know God's will for you, it is the same as telling yourself that you are a slave who doesn't deserve to know what your father is doing. Listen again. You are God's child, not a slave. Therefore, you have the right to know God's will. You are not an outsider, but you are a member of God's family. Listen to Jesus, who already said this, that you are in the know, so am I. He says this in John 15:15. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. We are Jesus' friends, and Jesus said, I have made everything known to you. Now please say after me once more, I am a child of God. I have every right to know my Father's will. Now, number three, the lie that prevalent in among the Christians today is that it is impolite to inquire of God's will from God. This is equal to keeping God as an impersonal and indifferent God from our daily struggles. It is like us teaching a child, here's a child, say, never, ever bother your parents with silly questions. And the child listens to it. Oh, maybe it's very impolite for me to ask any questions. You know, our Father in heaven never frowns upon us when we ask about His will for us. He welcomes our inquiries on His will. And that's a sure sign of a healthy relationship between us and God. Question and answer thing, you know. No communication means something's wrong in this relationship, right? And furthermore, it is God who commands us to, after all, ask for His will and His wisdom. Do you know the James chapter 1 verse 5 says this? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Here's another promise, and this is what the 1 John 5:14 says. This is the confidence we have before God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. The scripture constantly encourages us to ask God any questions, either wisdom or God's will. So repeat after me one more time, folks. I'll ask for God's will with confidence every day. Here's number four, lie, that it is impossible for us to know God's will. This one I heard several times. People say that people of God say, it is impossible for me to know God's will. This is equal to agnosticism. Now, this lie is so contradictory to the scripture, which says it is absolutely possible to know God's will. How? In two ways. Number one is that God reveals His will to us, both generally and specifically. Generally means that whatever God's will revealed to us applies to everybody. And specifically means that God reveals His will only applies to certain individuals. Okay? Take the Ten Commandments for instance. All the Ten Commandments, remember, God says, you shall have no other gods but me. And you shall not kill. You shall not, you know, just steal. All these Ten Commandments apply to everybody in the world with no exception, right? That's what I says, general will of God. How about this one? He also reveals his will that only applies to specific individuals, such as, should I take this new job? Should I move to this next town? Or should I move to Florida? And that only applies to certain individuals, not to everybody. That's what I'm saying. So that's how God reveals. Second, God reveals his will when we ask. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. And knock and it shall be opened to you. Jesus asks us to ask. So when we ask, Lord, what's your will for me? And God says, I will answer your question. Okay? But please repeat after me. It is absolutely possible to know God's will for me by asking for it. Now, the point I'm making this morning is this. Knowing God's will is not an option, folks. It is a must for every believer in Christ to know God's will so that we may lead an abundant life in Christ. Say after me one more time. I must know God's will for me. Now, please keep in mind here, living out God's will is an integral part of genuine Christian experience, not a special or isolated experience for a few believers. You know, God wants you and me to be familiar with His will. Say after me one more time, God wants me to know His will. Without knowing God's will, we will not be able to distinguish from what is pleasing to the Lord and what is not. And therefore, we'll waste our time and energy, sometimes for years, on the things that, you know, don't last or the things that don't matter to God. We believe that they do. The end result I'm most concerned about will be eternally tragic. Okay, here's an example. If you read Matthew chapter 7, you see Jesus talking to his disciples and the, you know, hundreds of people surrounding him. This is what he says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. That got my attention. Who gets into the enter, you know, the heaven? Not the one who calls Lord, Lord, but the one who does the will of my Father. So we got to know what it is. And Jesus continues here, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not in your name cast out demons? And did we not in your name perform many miracles? And then Jesus says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And we say, wait a minute, didn't we practice all these things, you know, in the name of Jesus? And in the end, Jesus still says, I never knew you. So what is this? It boils down to, depends on one thing, doing the will of the Heavenly Father, isn't it? That's why I said it's a must for every believer. Now, doing God's will is not an occasional thing either. You do it like once in a blue moon or just once every other month or something. It is an everyday thing. It should be daily practice, like the way we breathe and eat. I'm not making this up, folks. Listen to what Jesus says. He says in John 4:34, my food, Jesus talking, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. To Jesus, doing God's will is his food, and so it should be with us. We pray daily the Lord's Prayer, which says, in part, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? On earth also means in our daily lives, your will be done. We are to say to God, your will be done in my life today and every day. Now let's think about what's the benefit of knowing God's will. Three benefits I could think of. The first one is this. There is no waste of our time, waste of our energy in daily situations if we know God's will. For instance, There's one gospel for you. Jesus commands us to love our enemies. We all know that, Matthew 5:44. Therefore, we would bless them, not curse them. Are you with me? When we know what's pleasing to the Lord and what's not, we will not waste any breath on wrong prayers either. For example, I hate this guy. I hate this boss in my work. What do? You curse him or curse her in your prayers? Lord, let bad things happen to this woman. It's all wrong prayers. Are you with me? Now, second benefit of knowing God's will is this. The knowledge of God's will helps us to live our lives to its fullest. I said to its fullest. Remember Jesus' promise? Whoever does the will of God will lead an abundant life. That's what I'm talking about. By understanding His will, we will learn to do His will. And by doing His will, we will accomplish what God wants us to do in our lives and in our relationships. Here's another example for you to consider. Here's another God's will for you. In Ephesians 4:26, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Oh, what's that mean? It means that before the end of the day is over, if you got angry with someone or at someone, make sure that you make peace with that individual. That's what it is. I am very guilty of this, okay? I just, you know, hold on to this grudge for days sometimes, okay? Now, what happens if you do not follow God's will on this? This is what medical doctors saying to your body. It happens. First of all, when you get angry with anything or anybody, there's a certain hormone called adrenaline in your body. It shoots up, okay? Because your body has to react to this, you know, situation. When you do this thing all the time, adrenaline in your body, and if you keep doing it in the end, you will increase the chance of heart attack. Seriously. No wonder, 2,000 years ago, God's word says that, hey, you don't know why I'm asking you to do this. Just do it. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Resolve the anger issue before you go to bed. If you do, it lowers the adrenaline and it'll give you a much better health. Now, the third benefit I'm talking about, as we follow God's will, it will shape our character, you and me, into a Christ-like image. The more faithfully we follow God's will day in, day out, the closer we become like Jesus. I'm not saying that I'm, you know, much closer to Jesus, but if I compare my life as a Christian for 40 years ago and now, I can humbly admit and testify to everyone that I am little closer to Jesus than 40 years ago. So as long as we follow God's will every day, we come closer to Jesus. Now here's my, as we're closing, I would say that it is God's will for you and me to know God's will. Okay? He expects us, in fact, to live out His will in our daily lives. Listen to Jesus once again. Whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother, sister, and mother. He also reveals His will to us, and He prepares us with everything good to do His will, and He rewards those who do God's will with eternal blessings. He does it all. He not only reveals to us what He wants us to do, He equips us with all the power that we need to do God's will, and then in the end, He rewards us if we follow God's will with eternal blessings. Now, let me repeat one more time. Remember what I said at the beginning? We are going to think about why we need to know God's will. Here's why. So that we may understand His will and not to be a fool. Did you know that the Bible says if you misunderstand God's will, you are foolish? Ephesians 5:17. Why do we need to know God's will? So that we may live out as God wants us to do. So that we may accomplish His works. So that we may walk close with God. So that we may faithfully and effectively live out God's purpose for us here on earth. That is to advance His kingdom on earth. He wants us to know His will. He wants us to understand His will. And He wants us to do His will. Now, I'm going to close my sermon with a closing prayer. And with your help. I have like several sentences I lined up here for my closing prayer. And I'll say, you know, just a few lines, or one line, or you know, half of the sentence, and you say after me, and that will be our closing prayer. Okay? Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father in heaven, would you say after? Yes. Let's do it again. Our Father in heaven, your will be done in my life. Today and every day. You expect me to know your will. I want to know your will too. I am your child. I have every right to know your will. It is absolutely possible to know your will. Because you reveal it to me. I must know your will. So I humbly ask for your will every day. I will do your will every day. I will not settle for less. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.